Okay, I'm Caitlin. I'm an alcoholic. I literally hate speaking probably more than anything in life, so this should be fun. And I'm also super pregnant, so I can barely breathe. But yeah, so this will be fun. My sobriety date is March 23rd of 2021, so I just celebrated a year. My home group is the Fourth Dimension group out in Newport Richey. We meet on Fridays at 7 o'clock out there, and it's a really great meeting. So yeah, I grew up here, and I was born and raised in Tampa, Florida. I was born March 5th of 91, so I also just turned 31. I was born to two good parents. They both loved me very much, and I don't know, like, if anything, like, I had kind of a broken childhood. Like, I walked in on my dad cheating on my mom when I was pretty young. She was in Paris, and she called me, and she was like, how was last night? How was the babysitter? And I was like, good, she's in bed with daddy, you know? And so then my mom, like, flew home, and then my parents were, like, moved out the next week, so I obviously thought it was, like, my fault, and, so yeah, so there was that, but like the self, like me being how I am, like I just was kind of selfish and I was like, whatever, like I get two houses now, two Christmases, two birthdays, like it is what it is. And also my mom was kind of more strict. My dad was really like the fun dad because he was always drunk. I'm pretty sure my dad's an alcoholic. I know we're not supposed to diagnose, but I've never really seen him sober and I've never seen my mom drunk. So I can't even really picture them together now, but yeah, he's kind of a mess. But so yeah, that was how my parents were. And I don't know, I was always just like a really weird kid. Like things that were like supposed to excite me, like going to Disney World, I would cry over and not want to go. Like I was always just crying when I was supposed to be having fun. It was always just like a meltdown, like anything. Like even when I was older, like in high school, like prom, homecoming, everything, a meltdown, like before. And so yeah, and then by the end of it, like I went to Disney World and I obviously cried the whole time, and then by the end of it I didn't want to leave, and I feel like that's just kind of how my life goes. But I don't know. And also like I feel like I had like two parents that loved me, and like I had grew up in a really good home and all of that, but like I just always felt like I was like this little like orphan child, and I don't know why, but like my story, like I always made up things, like, oh, like I don't know, like I would just make up these tragic stories, like so dramatic, just so I could be like different almost. I don't know. But yeah, so I don't know. I started like doing drugs and alcohol at a pretty young age. My mom sat me down when I was young and she was like, listen, like your dad is an alcoholic. So my dad wasn't, my grandfather was a bipolar alcoholic who was also a doctor in the Navy. And she's like, so it runs in our family. So you could like potentially be an alcoholic. So I was like, okay, cool. So I'll do drugs. And so I was in middle school, and I had a friend whose mom was really young. She had her when she was like 16, and so she had this like really cool mom that like used to be a stripper and like had all these cool stories of like her ecstasy days and like stripping, and I was like, that sounds really fun. So like I set out to like have that kind of life because my mom was like boring. She worked in a law firm and like her dad was a doctor, and like they wanted all these like things from me, and like I just liked the more fun stories better. So I was like, okay, cool, like I'll just, you know, become a stripper. That's what I want to be when I get older. And so I went on this trip, and like her mom like let us like drink and stuff a lot. She didn't care. Like it was like the summer going into high school, and that's when I had my first drink. We were in Steinhatchee, like going scalloping for the weekend. And they had like Bacardi, Raz, and cranberry juice, and like Southern Comfort and Coke. And so I drank two of the Southern Comforts and Coke, and like felt like, you know, like I just didn't really care what people thought of me anymore. because I always just felt like really uptight, really awkward, and like I just wanted to be somebody else. Like I didn't want to be like other people, I just wanted to be someone else. So I started, you know, I drank the two drinks, and then I also like smoked weed that night for the first time. And then there was like some guys like going into we were going into ninth grade. They were going to be seniors because she had an older sibling. So I like hooked up with one of them, and it was just like a really crazy night. And then I threw up for the rest of the weekend because I was so hungover. But I just didn't really care. Like I loved it immediately. Like I hated the taste, but I liked the warm feeling that I got when I drank, and I liked not caring at all. So then we went into high school. Homecoming was pretty soon after that. Like I said, I had like a whole meltdown. I wasn't gonna go, and it was a whole thing. It had to be a whole show for everyone always. And had homecoming, I got in trouble for drinking, like right off the bat. They like knew I was drunk because I was not very good at hiding it. Like I'm pregnant right now, but I'm usually a really small person, so like it goes right through me. And so there's no, like, it's always just like my legs go first so I can't walk kind of thing. And so I'm like being carried and like held up by like three people, like, so yeah. And so I got kicked out and suspended for 10 days, and that was like my first consequence from drinking. And like drugs are a huge part of my story, but I never really had any consequences from drugs ever. Like those I kind of just did, stayed home, stayed out of everybody's way. Like with alcohol, like I never knew what was gonna happen. Like I didn't know if I was gonna wake up on 7th Avenue or in some random person's bed or wherever. Like I just never knew how the night was gonna go with alcohol. So yeah, so homecoming. High school was kind of a disaster. I always just kind of glamorized like awful situations. Like this girl passed away because she was drinking and driving. And when she died, somebody was like, oh, do you think like so-and-so was messed up when she died? And somebody was like, oh, like it's, we'll say her name is Mary. They're like, oh, it's Mary. Like, of course she was messed up. Like, of course she was drunk. And I was like, I want that to be me. Like when I die, I want people to know like I was like messed up, you know? And I also wanted to like try every drug in the world just so I could say I did it. And so I don't know, and like I didn't really know I had an addictive personality. I thought I was just gonna try it once so I could say I did it and be done. And I don't know, so I just started drinking a lot, always partying, always a scene. I got my first car when I was 16, and I got like a really nice, I'm the oldest of like four children, so I was like really spoiled. I got all the nice stuff, ruined it for them, they got crap. So I got like a really nice like $30,000 hardtop convertible that still had the temporary tag on it when I wrecked it. And I was like, we were going to like a Chris Brown and Soulja Boy concert or something ridiculous like that. And I really needed alcohol, and like I was only 16, so the person I was with didn't know how to roll a blunt. And this is how this happened, because I was driving and this girl called me. She's like, oh, I can meet you at ABC Liquor to buy you alcohol. And I was like, okay, cool. And like first she told me she couldn't, so I was going like northbound on McDill, and then she calls me and tells me she can. So I was like, okay. And so I was gonna turn around, and he couldn't roll a blunt, so I'm like, so now I have to do a U-turn in the middle of McDill, and I get like slammed, and I do like a whole like 360 across there. And this like reminds me of Mike, because my glasses like flew off in the car, and so like immediately I'm just like, oh my god, I'm blind. And I was sober, and I'm like, oh my god, I can't see. And like Colin like hands me my glasses, he's like, it's okay. And so yeah, it did. So I wrecked my car with the temporary tag still on it. I still got to go to the concert, and I still got my alcohol though, so I didn't really care. And just everything like was just always a mess. And then I was like dating this guy, we broke up, so I started dating Aaron. And he was just like a convict, and like just kind of like a bad boy, and like always getting in trouble. And he like introduced me to like some harder stuff than alcohol. And I started like running with him, like stealing from people, like stealing cars, like doing really awful stuff. And eventually he got arrested, and he was at this like rehab facility that was on court order. And so I like helped him break out of that. And so I got arrested for like harboring a fugitive and aiding and abetting and like all this serious stuff. And I was like, I can't wait to tell everybody at school, like I'm gonna be on probation. It's gonna be so cool. Like they're gonna just think I'm such a badass. And while me and him were like on the run together, I got his initials. We got each other's initials tattooed on our wrists. And like I got mine on my right wrist and he got his on his left. So when we held hands, they like touched. And it was just like so ridiculous. Like now I'm just like, ew. But like back then I thought it was so cool. I really did. And yeah, and so we ended up getting arrested a few days later. I had to take the SAT during that time too, so that really sucked because I took the SAT and I was so drunk the night before that during the SAT, I like, and they don't let you out, so like you're closed in there, and I just have a bag and I'm just like throwing up. Like I can't even do the writing portion because I can barely like see straight. But I did so good on the math, like it was like one of my best scores, and like my mom was so proud of me. And like later on in life, I'm just like, Mom, I was drunk. Like, you know, because I really was still like wasted from the night before and throwing up the entire time, but I still somehow did okay on the SAT. And then I got arrested the next day, and then my parents saw the tattoo when they picked me up from jail. I didn't want to leave jail either, like, because I knew I would be in trouble, so they were like, we're going to release you, and I'm like, I'll stay. And so Aaron was like, well, if you tell them you're on drugs, they'll put you in detox for 3 days. And I was like, perfect, I'm on drugs. So they put me in detox, so that way I didn't have to deal with my parents for like 72 hours. And then when they picked me up, I had this like tattoo on my wrist, and I was like, yeah, I got it in jail. And my dad's like, no, you didn't. But I'm like, yeah, like, and, like I got a jail tat now, so, you know. And he was so mad, because like, I'm like 16, so it was really bad. So yeah, and so then me and him just like, I was obviously banned from seeing him, so I wanted to see him more. So I would sneak out and like see him and all this stuff. And I don't know, like I just, when I was on probation, there was like something that didn't show up on the drug test, so I started doing that. I got really sick from that, and I was also drinking a lot then. So I was just drinking and doing prescription stuff. And one day I didn't have it, and I woke up and I felt really sick, and then I did that, and then I felt better. So I realized then that I was like physically addicted. And I told my parents like later on, like we were in some kind of argument, and I was like, you don't understand what it's like to be me every day and wake up just so sick, and like this whole like dramatic thing. And then I like wanted to go to rehab was the moral of the story, because I felt like I didn't have anything. And so they get me into a rehab program, and so I'm like set to go to Turning Point. And then I obviously like get drugs and drink later that day, and I'm like, fine. So I'm like, I don't really need rehab. Like I was just being dramatic this morning. I'm really sorry like to waste you guys' this time. And my dad's like, no, you're going. So I like, I didn't even graduate high school actually. So I was gonna say I graduated high school and then went. I didn't. I dropped out of high school because I was mad at my mom, and she really wanted, I'm the oldest. So like she wanted me to like walk in graduation. It was so ridiculous. And so I was like, well, if you make me do that, I'll just show up really drunk. And she was like, okay, Caitlin, like whatever. So I like, it was harder for me not to graduate high school than it was for me to just graduate. So I just like missed my American history exam, so that way I didn't graduate by like half a credit. And so I did that. And then the next month I was in Turning Point. So I went there. I realized they had some like really cool stories that I hadn't tried yet. So I don't know, like I was okay with not doing drugs again, but I really wanted to be able to drink like always, because I just felt like that is more socially acceptable. I didn't want to be left out. I was very young. I was 18 when I first came in here. And I don't know, like I I don't know. I just didn't want to be like some weird little kid that like had to get sober before they even turned 21 because I was just so bad at drinking. So I met some guys in there, left with them, got into some other trouble. Then I came to AA. Like, I came to this meeting actually specifically. Actually, I came to Saturday Night Fever first. And this blonde girl was speaking, and she was like, she had like sunglasses on her head, and she was like in a long, like, sundress, looked super normal. And she told like the craziest story ever. And I was like, oh my God, like, what is this whole sponsor thing? Because I want her to sponsor me. Like, so I got a sponsor. I started like kind of listening, but I still wasn't fully ready. I always believed in God, so I feel like I'm kind of like stupid and naive, because I feel like all of you guys come in here and you're like, oh, I didn't believe in God, and it was like this whole thing. So I think I'm just stupid, because I didn't realize there was like an option not to believe in God. So, but I mean, I didn't really like start trusting God until I got to AA. And I don't know. Like, I started, like, I was, like, in and out a lot for, like, really, like, 13 years, but especially now. Like, I couldn't put together even 30 days. And I, like, came to YPG, met everybody, and it was, like, a lot bigger and stuff than it is now. And, like, we would all just, like, you know, hang out. We'd get there at like 6 p.m. and like set up, and it was like a whole thing. It was just like home group and then the hang, and like the Thursday nights were like blocked off for that. And like I started like looking forward to it and like going to all the events and like Ficky Paw and all the fun stuff. And like my life got really good, and like I started working and making money and being able to shop and, you know, not spend it all on bullshit. And I don't know. And then I would be working in the restaurant business. I would start to eventually put my job first, and then they would all go out to drink after work, and I would feel left out. And by the way, when I did start drinking with them, like, I would still feel left out, because like I've always drank differently, and like the people that like I thought were alcoholics would like sit me down, tell me I had a problem with like a vodka in their hand, and I'm like, do I though? And so I don't know, like, it was just like this vicious cycle of like I would be able to get 6 months no problem, be putting my job first, I would start drinking again, I would eventually start doing drugs, I would end up in a detox, lose everything, come back. And then like I just got a little bit older, and the sicknesses started lasting longer, like everything just wasn't so like cute anymore. And I moved out to Orlando for a little bit, was able to somehow put together like 16 months, and then like COVID happened, so that was like a huge excuse to go out and like drink and get into a lot of other trouble. And then I came back down to Tampa, because this is where like I got sober, and like I called Jessie to sponsor me, and I was like crying, because like in my head I asked her to sponsor me, but she said no. So I called her like begging, and she was like, of course I'll sponsor you. And I was just like, oh, because I cried and begged for like 10 whole minutes before she could even get a word in. She was just like, yeah, like, you know. And so she started sponsoring me, told me there was two rules, that I had to get a home group and I had to be honest with her. And Nikki lived out in Safety Harbor at the time. She was like, I go to this meeting, Fourth Dimension. And so I went out there and just like fell in love with it. So I was like, this will be my home group. And I've showed up like every week since, minus like 2 weeks, because like one was on Christmas Eve, and then the other one I was like out in St. Pete seeing her speak. But I go every week. I have a service commitment there. And those are the things that, like, keep me accountable. I didn't mention before, but I have a sponsor, and I am available to sponsor others, but I don't have any sponsees right now. But we went through the steps, like, fairly quickly, and I had done, like, probably like 5 or 6 fifth steps before, because I had been in and out for so long, but none like as thorough as the one I did this time. And like I always had like a step one problem too. Like I think that was like the whole issue, because my dad's an alcoholic, and so the sound of being an alcoholic was just really distasteful to me. Being a drug addict was way cooler. And so like I said, like I could leave the drugs behind, but I just wanted to still be able to drink. And I don't know. Like, the third step I really, like, that's always the step where, like, the obsession got removed for me, because, like, I don't know why, but that's always just kind of when it happened, like, doing the third step prayer, and then, like, after that, I wouldn't be so, like, obsessive about it, because I originally thought I was going to be, like, Dr. Bob, and, like, I was going to have this obsession forever, because, like, for, like, 2 years or whatever, so it was, like, but the third step, I don't know, that, like, removed it, and then my character defects, like, I thought, like, oh, like, my defects have character, so I liked a lot of them, and so that was kind of a problem, but I don't know, just, like, prayer and, like, meditation has been really helpful, and I don't know, like, I go to a lot of meetings, I try to be of service when I can, I literally hate speaking, but I said yes, because that's what we do, even though it's awful, but, I don't know, I'm having a baby, like, being sober this time has been really cool, too, because I got to go back to school, No, I, like, don't want to cry. Okay. I, like, thought I couldn't have kids, and, like, I got pregnant, and, I don't know, it's all just been really amazing, and I don't know, it's just crazy, because, like, I really thought, like, I wasn't going to be able to get sober. Like, I would see everybody else that I came in with, like, staying sober, and, like, I just would be in and out, and, like, always picking up a white chip. Like, I had to return white chips at one point. I have so many. And it's just, like, insane. Like, I just picked up a year, and, like, I'm having a baby next month, and it's just, like, I'm working, and, like, living with my boyfriend, like, on my own, like, not accepting any help from, like, my parents or anything like that, and it's just, it's been really cool. So I'm just really grateful, and thank you.